due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Mike Tyson, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the show today. We're doing a little bit of a format break here. Today we're going to start, by the way, I'm the Cashman. I'm joined by Danger Boy. And I will let you know that welcome to the show for September 30th. It's the last day of the month. Holiday stay real quick. It's National Mud Pack Day. I want to let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. And we have a room full of boxing legends here in the studio today. We're going to start off talking about this first part of the show, Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame 27th Annual Awards, which banquet starts is tonight. Doors open at 6, dinner at 7. We are joined by our good friend Bob Collins. Bob, how are you doing today, sir? Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
How you doing today, sir?
Very good.
Thank you so much for bringing everybody up. Why don't you introduce everybody around the room? We've got a whole bunch of superstars in the studio with us right now.
All right. Gino Arlotta is the president now of the Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame. Mark Irwin is our past vice president, and he's in charge of the write-ups for our program this year and the master of ceremonies at the program. We have Steve Smoger, an outstanding referee, world-renowned, refereed over 200 fights. And, of course, our champion is with us, Livingston Bramble.
Well, thank you guys so much for getting up this early this Saturday morning, the day of the dinner. Steve, we remember you last year. Thank you so much for coming back.
Always a pleasure. Nice to be in the beautiful city of Rochester, and thank you for the invite.
Not a problem. And we're up here, of course, on the 16th floor of the five-star bank building. You can see forever out the windows. I think last year you came up, it was raining or snowing. Who knows what was going on, but it's beautiful today, that's for sure. Steve, I was reading a little bit about you this past year. You started picking up kickboxing, right?
Yes, I did. Worked in Europe, and Eurosport, the crew there asked me if I would transition into, and it was women's kickboxing, which made it a little bit easier because of the duration of the rounds. So I took a 10-day course over in Europe in one of the finest gyms in Varna, Bulgaria, and learned what I hope was the finer points. I got through it, so it was nice at this stage of my career to somewhat cross-train, but pro boxing is my mainstay, but it was really a pleasure to learn a new art, if you will.
Did I see that you were doing the World Cup, too?
What you saw was the gentleman who fights this evening, Marius Briedis. I did his last victory in Europe before he entered the World Cup, and he fights Mike Perez this evening in the World Super Series for cruiserweights. And in fact, it's in the very same arena where I worked his IBA title in Riga, Latvia. So I think that's what you read. I did his last event before he entered the tournament.
Very, very cool. Now, I know you're getting the award for the Outstanding Referee Award, and I thought you were here last year. What a great speaker you are, and you had some great stories. I want to thank, like I said, once again, thank you so much for coming back up here again.
Well, it's an honor. You know, I call him the Terrific Two plus Mark. To be in the company of Bob Collins and Gina Arletta is really, really something. Loyal friends for many, many years. And just last night at dinner, to discuss boxing with gentlemen, the history, you know. We just went by a building, and Bobby says, you know who fought in that building? I said, no. He said, Jack Dempsey. I mean, the history of this wonderful town is incredible. And to be part of it, you know, the last show I did here, which I think propelled me into the award, is I was with Big Baby. I have big hopes for Big Baby. I was in with him, and I think he can really, really bring a lot of attention to the area. So it's an honor to be here. It truly is. And thank you for the invite. Anytime.
Not a problem. And, of course, the Courage Award going to Livingston Bramble, who joins us in the studio, too. Livingston, thank you so much for joining us.
It's good to be here. You know, Charles Murray, he's the only guy I think that beat me twice. And, you know, coming back here again, it's nice. I'm seeing a little more of the town, and I'm realizing that you do have a beautiful town here, and I would like to visit it more.
All right. I was going to say, you missed it. It was 90 early this week, and now we get back to more like seasonable weather, though, so I apologize for that.
Well, thank you, man, but I'll know next time to bring about 4 jackets.
I was going to say, you being the only champ ever from St. Croix, is that's quite a notch in your ability, but you did great. I mean, coming from St. Croix and becoming a champion, being the only one ever, that's got to be, you know, make you like the big man on campus around there, right?
Correction. I was born in St. Kitts, raised up in the Virgin Islands. But, you know, the Virgin Islands, you know, they always have good basketball team, good baseball. But the thing about it is, you know, I wanted boxing, and there's not much fighters down there. I did the best I can. I fought anybody out of Puerto Rico. I would take the plane and go to Puerto Rico without even notifying my parents that I was going away. And so I lost the fight in Puerto Rico. I come back, and my mom gave me a good spanking. So I wake up after a while.
Beat twice.
But this city of Rochester is really nice. I think you guys got a real good prime where you could put boxing on the map and make boxing be a big part of this town. That would be nice. You got a real early history already. I think if you continue there, I think we can have a really good boxing place here. I love the place. I just had my first real good walk, ride in town, and I look at the buildings. I couldn't believe it. The buildings are all Rochester. I kind of like that.
Great. Now, let's talk a little bit about your history, okay? On June 1st, 1984, you knocked out Ray Boom Boom Mancini in Buffalo, New York to become the WBA World Lightweight Champion. What was that experience like, and what was it like to be back here in Western New York?
Well, I'll tell you what, just to change his name to Boycini was a lot for me. And, you know, we had a good time promoting the fight. I'm going to be Bramble no matter where you put me, and that's just me. You know, I love the game, and I really don't like people that I fight. I really come in with an attitude because I'm a nice guy, and I think when I respect a guy that I fight, it takes some of the hunger out of me. That's why I never like to shake hands or nothing like that, but people really didn't understand it.
Cool. Now, in hindsight, do you think the championship win was the high point of your career, or do you have another favorite moment?
You can't get past beating a Ray Mancini. Nobody else could take that place. So I think Ray was my biggest fight. It was a big fight, and it was something big for me. The world championship, I respect, and I think I went in there and I give Ray the respect for what he does well, and that's why I won that fight.
Very cool. Now, you're getting the Courage Award tonight at the Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame. It's the 27th Annual Awards Banquet. That is tonight at 1 Diplomat Way, Rochester, New York. Doors open at 6, dinner at 7. There's going to be dinner, music, programs, pictures, autographs, door prizes, and raffles and everything. Now, you're here for the Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame, and you once fought Rochester's very own Charles the Natural Murray. Do you have any memories of fighting the local legend in Atlantic City?
I fought Charles twice. He's a very nice guy, and we've been friends forever. No matter we fought, we've still been friends. I really respect this guy, and I think he had great skills, and the people here should realize what he has, and they should try to really put it together for him to really be a big part of boxing in Rochester.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. Now, this is kind of odd, but you often had a snake around your neck, and there was rumors you practiced witchcraft. Can you set the record straight on those rumors?
My basketball coach, who was Dr. Du, he played a part that Lou wanted to play. That's the voodoo doctor, because he wanted to put something else in Ray's head to think. Everything that we could do to Ray to make him not think boxing, we would do it. We played a good game. It was a great fight. I got in the best shape of my life, and I'll tell you truthfully, I wish I retired right after that fight.
That's actually leads into my next question. You haven't fought since 2003, but you've never officially retired. You think you're going to come back for one more?
If my shoulder hold up, I'll definitely going to say goodbye to the sport with another fight.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Very cool. Now, these are some general questions for everybody in general. And we're talking about the world of boxing. It's been in the news a lot lately, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on it. What do you guys, all of you guys, think about the Mayweather-McGregor fight? Do you think it was good for boxing to have an MMA outsider in such a high-profile fight in his boxing debut?
Well, I think it was, in a way, because I think that it... you know, the other, the MMA is kind of the wave. It's kind of the present, you know, current flavor. And I really didn't have any objection because you look at Mayweather, you know, his skill level wasn't what it was just a few years back. And I think that McGregor played by the rules of boxing. It was done as a boxing event. You know, he learned to box after a fashion. So I think it was, you know, I don't think it did any damage to boxing. I think it was actually, it was good for boxing. I mean, you took a current, you know, McGregor had a following outside of boxing and you brought some of those into it. Now maybe they get a taste of it and, you know, they're stuck with regular boxing. I think that it was, you know, it was a good way for Mayweather to go out with a big win. And I, as a boxing guy myself, I was glad to see, you know, somebody from my sport prevail in that, you know. And I saw, you know, McGregor, you know, some of the things, leaving that jab out there for so long, and just, you know, I saw things that he was doing that, you know, I coached kids. I wouldn't have ever allowed them to go in doing that. But he gave a credible account of himself, I thought. You know, so, yeah, I thought it was a good event.
I agree with Mark. It was really, really an event. For example, I happened to have worked that night in Foxwoods, Connecticut. And they had a live card that began very, very early for boxing standard at 6 o'clock. We concluded at 9. And if you had a ticket to the live event, you simply went out the door, make a right, and then you went into the larger venue, and it was packed. And it was, as I said, an event. The ladies were dressed high fashion. There were dinners involved, and it was a place to be seen, a place to go. And I think that McGregor gave a good account of himself. I think Floyd fought a very, very smart fight. On all of the experts' cards, McGregor won the first three rounds because I think Floyd was just gauging what he had and what he had in front of him. And I think it was win-win for both sports. And for the general public, it was, from what I just read, the third highest grossing pay-per-view event ever, behind Pacquiao and I think the recent GGG and
Canelo. Yeah, yeah.
So it showed that it had that crossover flavor. So I totally agree with Mark. It was a win-win, and it didn't hurt the sport. It just brought a bright light on the sport.
Okay. What do you think, sir, Mr. Bramble?
Well, you know, I understand what it was doing, but to me, it was just a money-making event. It wasn't a boxing match. It was just a money-making event because we know that there was no way that McGregor was going to beat Floyd.
That's true.
You know, it's just a good event, you know, and it needs to happen every so often. It's been happening in boxing all over the years. I don't think it's going to stop now.
So I was going to say, and he, I think that he wanted to pick somebody he could win and get his 50th win, you know, which he was shooting for. And I think that, and it did make a lot of money, and it really, and it did open up a lot of eyes to boxing. A lot of people, you know, who maybe, you know, cross over to MMA or started in MMA, maybe a little way back to boxing. And so that, I think it was good for both sports. I think it was good for boxing, definitely. And it's like, I know, I like how McGregor came out recently and said, or I mean, I think Mayweather came out recently and said, yeah, I could have ended it a lot earlier. I just wanted to give people their money's worth. So, which you could tell the last couple of rounds that McGregor was in, he was like, you know, in a daze and not stopping anything from hitting him. So
if Floyd could have bought a knockout, he would have did. He didn't. He did the best he can do. I don't think the fight would end no different if he come out there being stronger or tougher. It really, I don't think that was the point. The point of it, the guy, you know, he held his own. And you know, I don't think Floyd would have looked a whole lot better. He's a great fighter. He's a very good boxer, one of the really good boxers in my time of boxing that I've seen. He's a good boxer, and he stick with boxing. But if you look at the De La Hoya fight against Floyd real seriously, you realize that when De La Hoya put him on the rope and threw those hands, he had nothing to answer back with.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You're right. Now, what did you guys think of the Canelo? We just mentioned a minute ago, Canelo Triple G fight a few weeks ago. Do judges need more training on scoring fights?
They need to be reasonable with the game. That's how I see that. They need to be reasonable with the game. You can't tell them how to score this. Those guys know the game.
Yeah.
they do what they want to do when they get in there. That's the difference. And some fights are end that way. And sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of the who is doing it and why they doing it. You know, I walk away. I just look at the game and enjoy the game. But I'm not going to try to say, well, this guy should have voted for the other guy. I don't do that at all.
Yeah,
I think the commission did the right thing. And I want to turn it over to Steve Smoker, because he's been in the game enough times to know the actual facts of that.
Thank you, Bob. I agree with Livingstone. However, after the fact, you learn that Golovkin's camp objected to Adelaide Bird because she had been involved in other questionable decisions. And Nevada is a very, very fine commission. I don't understand the rationale. If an objection is filed, there's a pool of judges, and this wouldn't have happened. And they were already concerned because they had watched. I mean, Livingstone will tell you, as will Bob and Gino and Mark, they study the judges, they study the referee before they, you know, they do as much research as they can before they put their fighter in that circumstance. And Adelaide has had some very, very shaky work. And the fact is that one camp objected. And that's the problem. Had they listened to the camp, a camp cannot put an official in, but it certainly can lodge an objection and request from the list another judge. So I think that would have avoided the problem. Every person I've talked to in the industry, Bobby last night at dinner, Gino, we all had it 9-3. At best, 8-4. So you say, what was she looking at going 10-2 the other way? So coming off of a very nice event, and then this follows, it's problematic. It is problematic. And I don't think, as Livingstone said, more training, more X, more Y. It just has, the commission has to just be more sensitive to the event and put... They're so concerned about rotations and that you put the best you can because you have, number one, the lives of two human beings in the referee's hands and the careers in the judge's hands, if you will. So I just think there has to be more sensitivity from the commission standpoint.
Oh, I would agree. And just to bring up another one that may have been a little controversial with the Pacquiao-Horn fight. I don't know if we want to go there.
Another 9-3 the other way.
Yeah,
Marky, right?
Yeah, I can't argue with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching an establishment, and everybody was shocked at the result of that fight. But, you know, and does crazy judging in boxing help or hurt the sport in its future? I mean, and not that it was crazy, it's just that it was interpreted her way that way. You know, it's.
Well, I think it 100% hurts. I mean, there's just no question about it. There's no positive face can be put on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is rules, there's what they're supposed to be looking at, and they're supposed to be unbiased, and there's just no. You know, there's no excuse for it. Adelaide Bird, I mean, you're talking about training, but I mean, she's been around. I just don't think there's anybody that's going to be able to train would have given any different result from that. I mean, obviously, she had an agenda when she walked in there, and she just wasn't watching the fight. I mean, there was just, you know, no possible way that you could come up with that score viewing what was right in front of her.
I was going to say, too, don't you think that maybe it would be better if you'd have a choice of the two competitors would have a choice on who would be the scoring judges before the fight instead of having, you know, the controversy at the end? I mean, it's almost like politics at times if you think about it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a, you know, but of course they come out and you see the numbers just that are so different from, you know, two judges and then one that's just totally off the chart.
And they say, you know, it's subjective. I really, unfortunately, guys, I don't see a remedy. I really don't see a remedy. The commissions, you hit it. There's a lot of politics involved. The son of the senator wants to be a judge, knows nothing about it, and gets a license. Whereas, you know, Mark Irwin's in the game for 30 years and has to stand behind this guy. And unfortunately, they'll put this, shall I say, not highly trained official in a seat, and this happens. And we just have to hope that, again, the commissions will put the very best forward and not worried about rotations or hurting Bobby Collins' feelings that he didn't get that fight or that Gino didn't get this fight. You got to do what's right.
Sure.
So, but you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Coming off of the nice McGregor-Mayweather event, which could have been difficult, and then have a decision like that, it is difficult.
Very cool. Mark, you have some? Oh, I'm sorry. Gino, you have any thoughts on that?
No. Everything that's been said here is correct.
Gino's a man of very few words.
Well,
he walks softly and he carries a big stick.
I was going to say, Gino, can I give out people your number for people who want to get tickets still? Is it too
yes,
late?
Okay. Yes, yes. 585-314-3541. Call or text me. You can get tickets at the door yet. It's going to be a great event.
Yeah.
There's limited seating available, but we could squeeze some in there, and we'd love to have them.
You could show up. You could show up at the door.
Sure. Yeah.
They can come right to the door.
One Diplomat Way. It's the Diplomat Party House, Banquet Center. Sorry, you want to check that out?
No. Diplomat Banquet Center, yes. They go by One Diplomat Way, but it's actually, Lyle Avenue there, just not too far from the expressway.
There's a nice hotel right across the street if you want to stay the night, so.
Yes, the hotel is next door to Radiance Hotel.
Very cool. And of course, we're getting the Outstanding Referee Award going to Steve Smoger there. Thank you. And Livingston, I want to ask you one more last question before we let you guys go, and I want to thank you guys so much for being up here. I wish you the best luck, and I'm going to keep hitting this the whole morning on the show. But you had an autobiography that was that came out last year, I think it was. It was called Boxing's Last Villain. Am I correct on that? I read that on Wikipedia, so I can't always trust everything I read there.
I know nothing about that.
Oh, okay.
I really, he wrote the book, but when I looked at what he wrote, I had about 99 questions for him, and he never returned my phone call.
Really? So this is definitely nothing that you're going to...
What he did, he couldn't get the papers here, so he made up his own book number, and he went to Canada, and he dealt with Amazon to bring the book out.
Okay, folks, you've heard it here. The book's called Boxing's Last Villain. Maybe you'll have a book coming out, and that'll be to get him set everyone straight.
In closing,
Bramble will be back. Bramble will be back.
In closing, I just want to say that Gino and Bobby wanted me to indicate that if you come in, purchase tickets this evening, and you conduct yourself in a proper fashion, you'll be able to see and touch a Hall of Fame 2015 actual Hall of Fame ring that I'm blessed to have on my finger.
Look at that.
And the road to Canastota went through, that'll be part of my presentation this evening, went through Rochester. Very, right. Very important. So I'm looking forward to a great evening. These are terrific boxing people. Good. We always have a lot of fun. And if they're good, I'll let them touch the ring.
All right.
So that's it. That's all I can tell
you. Let them bow down and kiss it, maybe.
Easy.
Okay. I'm asking too much there. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
And we have special guests. You know who they are.
Fritz.
Oh, Amateur Boxer of the Year Award. Is it Lavone Peak?
Lavone Peak, that's the Amateur Boxer of the Year Award.
We have the Annual Scholarship Award to Amber Barnwell.
Yes.
And we have the inductees going into the Hall of Fame, Irish Joe McShay and Mike Donovan.
Yes. And our special guests are, Charles Murray, Don Ackerman. He's the president and a judge from the from Canastota.
He should have judged that fight.
And Floyd Peavy. So we got a nice
Fritz?
Lineup.
Fritz.
Yeah, Fitz Vanderpool.
Oh, yes. Fitz Vanderpool called and asked if he could come over the last minute there.
What a card.
He's promoting his book called The Whip.
That's right. And he was up here a couple of years ago, too.
Last year.
It was great. Definitely. So I didn't miss anything else because I want to let people know this is going to be the event for boxing in Rochester tonight. And it's the 27th annual.
27th.
The one thing I'd like to mention, there's going to be besides Steve's ring, there's going to be a very unusual belt presented for showing. It's not going to be given out. It was won back in 1927 by Mike Conroy. Last year, the club purchased the belt from the previous owner, who was a historian of Rochester boxing, and it was made. It's the first belt that Hickok ever made for a boxer. And we have it now. It's the property of the Rochester Boxing Hall of Fame that will be on display tonight.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And one more time, I will hit it once more. Don't forget, it's tonight, the Diplomat Banquet Center, 1 Diplomat Way, Rochester, New York, 14606. Doors open at 6 p.m., dinners at 7. Dinner, music, programs, pictures, autographs, door prizes, maybe kissing the ring or even touching it. Raffle. You get to see all the awards, giving out the Courage Award, going to Livingstone Bramble, who's in the studio here with us. We're so honored to have you in. And Steve Smoger getting Outstanding Referee Award. You cannot miss this if you're a boxing fan, if you're a Rochester fan. These stories, I'm sure they might be a little bit more colorful maybe when you're
off the air.
Gotcha. So we might we'll open up a little bit. But they're incredible. You guys, thank you so much for coming up this morning.
Thank you for having us, Rich.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Always
thank
a pleasure.
You, Rich.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we'll see you next year or maybe sooner. Who knows? So.
Okay. Thanks
Hope
again,
so.
Rich.
Okay. Thank you. We'll get a break right now.
Stadium.
Thank you. Yes, right. All right.
First championship ever?
Yeah.
How about a little advice from a Hall of Famer?
No, I'm good.
Flashy robe. Check. Elaborate smoke and mirrors entrance with idiotic audience participation. Big check. In-ring skills on par with me. Not so much. You are everything that is wrong with WWE. And you want a match with me.
I'm Dan Taberski. My new podcast is Missing Richard Simmons.
Hi!
You know Richard Simmons likes to exercise, but did you know he was going to be a priest? Did you know he was in a Fellini movie? Most importantly, did you know that 3 years ago, he vanished?
All of a sudden, nothing.
He straight up got up and disappeared.
And I'm trying to find him. Search for Missing Richard Simmons now on iHeartRadio.
Sports! two simple words that go a long way.
Thank you.
We thank you.
I gotta thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for putting up with our yelling.
Get out of here.
Our stuttering.
And
our egos.
I'm an egomaniac.
But most of all, we want to thank you for allowing us into your car, home, smartphone, or office.
And it explodes everywhere.
Thank you to the best sports fans out there.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
You know, last week I said that headbutting Vince McMahon was a mistake, and it was. But even that mistake, let me ask you, what have you ever done in your career? Forget your career. What have you ever done in your life that ever had as much impact as the impact my skull had on Vince McMahon's head?
Hey, this is Taz, and you're listening to 1280, The Pain Clinic. Beat me if you can. Survive if I let you.
All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Sorry, we had a little musical interlude there. I had to, it was picture time, man. It's not often you get these Hall of Famer boxers in the studio with you, you know? It's always awesome having championship boxers up in the studio. Unbelievable. What a nice guy, too. Yeah. I asked him. Pretty dog, too. I asked him, yeah, that's cool. I asked him the voodoo question, too, which I thought was going to get me in trouble. But welcome back to the show. He still didn't deny it, like his Wikipedia said. You're right. He did. You know, so it's like, well, he did. He kind of told it was like a storyline when his fight with Mancini. So very cool. Welcome back to the show. We're going to talk pro wrestling now. If you want to get a call in, 222-1280, star 12 is the number. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with Danger Boy. And did I get a chance to do my birthdays? I didn't. Happy 24th birthday to three-time and current X Division champ Trevor Lee. And also happy 39th to former WWE Women's Champion Candice Michelle. Candice Michelle. Check us out. 1 week from today, we'll be at Salvatore's at the Garage Door and Salvatore Saloon for UFC 216. That's right, 10 p.m. start time. Get there early. There's no cover charge for UFCs at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door. It'll be hosted by us. There'll be drink specials all night long. 1 week from today, October 7th. I can't believe it's October already. I am really bumming. Well, today's not technically October. No, but I mean, it's going to be October after tomorrow. It'll be October tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. So, man, that's crazy. So, definitely come on and check us out a week from today. We'll be out there for UFC. We'll always have a good time, believe me. It's always a lot of fun. And I sit there and make the worst jokes on the microphone. So, but come on out. We'll have a good time. And besides that, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater official, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. And join Rock City Roller Derby. You can join the Flower City Fear, my team, too. Go to their Facebook page, Flower City Fear, on Facebook, and join us. Let's Danger Boy. Now we got to get back into the world of pro wrestling real quickly. We had No Mercy last weekend. Yeah. Thoughts on it? Great tag title match. I'll give you my first off impression after the show is over. I think they were trying to find a way to destroy Braun Strowman's push. I don't think that's it. I think they 100% knew what they're doing the entire time. I think they're building towards WrestleMania. Okay, okay. Well, I listened to. But it only took one. It only took one at F5. The same thing they did with Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe beat him up for 5 minutes and then took one F5 to beat him. Braun Strowman beat him up. They didn't want to go outside the ring. I was listening to Meltzer talk about this is 100% what Vince McMahon wanted the entire time. He wants to build up his WrestleMania main event of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar that we're going to get again, unfortunately. But
and speaking of Roman Reigns, is another thing that kind of stood out in my mind from that pay-per-view. You know, they went home at one point, and it was Roman Reigns winning the match over John Cena. You know, I mean, did anyone doubt it? That's a question, you know?
No, I mean, you had to see this coming and all that stuff. But, you know, four AAs as opposed to one spear.
It's
the same type of thing. They're building up the guys to and there's you know, talk that John Cena is never going to be in that high level match again, that this was his
his passing the torch to Roman.
Well, obviously, the way he talked after it, that's for sure. You know, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, it's like any MMA fight or any boxing fight. There's a lot of bad words that go into the match. As soon as it's over, they're best friends, you know. And it's, I mean, still,
except these ones are scripted.
Except for Roman comes out and still stumbles over words in his first promo out after it. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know what you guys think. 2-2-2-1280, Star 1280. We're willing to
tag title match was fantastic, though.
Yeah, oh man, there were some great matches on that show. There really was early in the show.
Enzo's match was not one of them.
Yeah, that was terrible. I mean, you know, I love how they're making, because they all hate him, they're making everybody else in the world hate him now, too. It's just by bad-mouthing him and whatnot.
The sad part is that he's, like, he's good at it. His stuff on Monday, I mean, it shouldn't have been the main event, but everything he said was right.
It was, you know, and he's right. He's like, you know, it's like, you know, you're trying to bury me, put me here, and now
the biggest problem is he can't tie any of their shoes when it comes to wrestling.
And well, I mean, he don't have to if he were kicking the right spot when a referee's not looking.
So.
I mean, he was getting trashed by...
But it also sucks that they're turning Neville face in this whole thing, because Neville was a great heel.
Yeah, and they're making fun of his ears.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I that's one thing I didn't like, but then it turns, it's kind of like a unification of the cruiserweights against him.
If you watch the after footage, they had Braun come out and destroy him too, and then all the cruiserweights gave him their finisher.
Yeah, and that, yeah, which I would love to have seen that if we were there live. That would have been pretty cool. But it's like, I was going to say also, someone friended him in the back after, I think it was on the 205 live or live 205, whatever it is. He was friended by one of the other, was it TJP? I can't remember who it was now. It's like, son of a gun, is he that or Akira? No, it wasn't. I'll figure it out before the end of the show, but he has someone that, you know, that complimented him that was in that group that was beating him up. So we'll see, you know, he's trying to turn people to his side. I don't know. We'll see.
How about Cesaro?
Yeah, whoa, get your teeth knocked an inch into your gums.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you watch it on TV, it looks like he had his teeth broken in half. No, they were knocked up into his gums, and he had to have them replaced. And he was still out there the next day accompanying Sheamus.
That kills me, too, man. And the thing is,
He had presence of mind enough to look at the camera and make sure they knew what happened.
Well, you saw when it happened, and when they showed the replay, I mean, he didn't have to do what happened. You know, I mean, he got launched into the corner, and of course he went
for the big oversell.
Yeah, he went for the big oversell, and teeth went straight down into the corner thing.
I may know someone who's done that and busted up their lip really good.
Oh, yeah?
Before, back in the, like, early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, someone you might know?
In town.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no, I couldn't imagine him doing that to the teeth, though.
No, we're going to go to break on that. Come back, because we got to catch up a little bit. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280 on your cell. Makes it a little bit easier. If you're out of the area code, put a 585 in front of that. We'll be back right after this.
There's a season for everything. And right now, it's save up to 30% on appliances season at the Home Depot, with special buys on innovative appliances that do more. Like a GE high-efficiency washer and electric dryer. Your clothes get cleaner without the damage, and they're just $586 each. Save $425 on the pair. Savings are in season with up to 30% off appliances at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, U.S. only. Gas dryer extra. See store for details.
Monday on Fox, it's the series premiere of Marvel's The Gifted, set in the X-Men universe.
Two mutant kids hooked on a high school gym.
Where an ordinary family discovers their children possess mutant powers.
Those are my kids. My family needs help.
And must run from the government. Starring Amy Acker.
People have been fighting this fight for a long time, and now it's our turn.
And Stephen Moyer.
There is nothing more important to me than my family.
The Gifted, series premiere, Monday at 9 Central on Fox.
If it wasn't for these idiots helping you all the time, you wouldn't have won last night. Matter of fact, why don't y'all help me? Why don't y'all run back there and grab me a beverage or something? No. Go back there and get me a cold beer, boy. No. Shut up, everyone. This is a classy establishment.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Samoa Joe, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
and all our teeth are intact here on the Pain Clinic. I think so. You got all your teeth?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I don't know. I can't. You know, Danny is on suspension for 2 weeks because of the trouble he caused last week. No double B, so it's Danger Boy and I, and we did very well with we had the boxers in. Very exciting to have the boxing in the first segment. If you missed it, go back and check it out on when we post a show later today. Livingstone Bramble was in here, a former WBA. Former WBA champion who won it in Buffalo for Mancini, beat Mancini, which was insane, but pretty cool still, too. But yeah, WBA world lightweight champion. Let's go to the phones right now. We got Rick from Rochester. What's up, Rick?
Good morning, gang. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, Rick. How are you doing?
Awesome, man. Hey, a few things on my mind this morning. I chimed in about 3 weeks ago when Heel Ziggler started doing that gimmick. I was wrong. He's kind of turning me around, man. It's kind of getting a little hilarious, if you ask me.
Hey, listen, if you hear someone's music and you know that they've been retired or they're gone, don't you know? I think it gets old real quick. I like when Big Show was doing the same gimmick about 10 years ago. You know, when he was Shokishi, and you know he was doing all the different characters. I not so much with Dolph Ziggler, just because I mean it's obvious the second Undertaker music.
Did anyone
bong
really
starts,
think the Undertaker was going to be there?
I don't know.
You see all these people with their phones standing up in the crowd with their phones on.
Yeah, it was lame. So I don't know. You like it. That's good, man. He needs somebody to freaking be behind it. That's for sure. So
he's going to do the Stone Cold one next.
I'm sure it's coming, you know. I mean, I'm sure I'd love to see Stone Cold come out and put him down, too, because he did it, you know. So
yeah, but if it comes, you know, now it's came to the glorious one versus him in a match. Now, that should be a killer match. I love Rude since the days, you know, 10, 12 years ago when he came out with the Team Canada back in That was awesome.
We've had him on the show many times, and it's like, you know, it's funny. He's been on the show in past and years ago, and it's like now he's like a big thing. And it's like, well, we can always go, I remember back when, you know, you know, because it's like, because there's so many guys that are on WWE right now. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, all these guys have been on the show in regular rotations at times. So,
sure. As far as people not getting a push is concerned, I'm kind of a little disappointed. I hope they do another so-called shake-up sometime, you know, by the end of the year, beginning of next year. The club, they got to do something more with the club, man. Those guys are legit, man.
Well, yeah, but they're all on the same show, aren't they? I mean, they are. So, but they're not doing anything together.
Gallows and Anderson on Raw.
Yeah, and Finn Balor's on Raw. And
who? Well, I was talking about AJ.
Oh yeah, but Finn Balor is the one who created the club, so he actually created it before AJ ever joined. So
yeah, those guys are legit, man. They were awesome in Japan. And
by the way, there was a big story this past week that the club actually, or the Bullet Club actually, did a takeover outside of Monday Night Raw, and the Young Bucks were there, Cody Rhodes and
Marty Scurll.
And who else?
Marty
Scurll was there too. And Marty Scurll was
and
the first.
Hangman Page.
So these guys, Marty Scurll, you might remember, he's the guy who originally had the umbrella before the guy on
Gallagher
or whatever his name is. But yeah, they did like a takeover. Like, I mean, word for word, exactly what WWE did to WCW when they were out in the parking lot with a megaphone.
Well, it's funny because they were running the gimmick that they got cease and desist on all these things.
Yeah,
and then the next day they got cease and desist on the Too Sweet motion.
Yeah, they apparently WWE was not happy about that. Because they sent out a bunch of cease and desist after they did this little takeover, and they were filming it too the whole time. You'll see video footage of it someplace sometime real soon. But the Young Bucks got the ones who got the biggest trouble because they do the Too Sweet sign. You know that? You know that, Rick? The Too Sweet.
Now that they did the video, and you know they were out there doing it on their. At their event, outside before the event, they can't even do it at ROH anymore?
No, they can't do it at all. They actually have T-shirts with the hand signal on it, and WWE didn't actually copyright that till 2015. So
technically, if they play that hand, then they can probably still get away with a court order. It's just fighting the battle in court.
That's what they said, is they don't have the money to fight the WWE in a court battle, so they just destroyed all their T-shirts with the Too Sweet sign on it. So if you got one, you're lucky, because they're not selling them anymore.
Guys in the crowd, the people in the crowd are still going to chant it, but I mean, if they can't do it, that's weird.
I know, and I'm sure that they went up and caught up with their friends too, like, you know, they were there wrestling, so, you know.
Like, this is that last RAW that we just had?
What was that? What was that, Rick?
This is the last RAW that just came out Monday.
It was last Monday that was in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah, they booked themselves an appearance at a Hot Topic, which sells Bullet Club t-shirts, after they were in Las Vegas this past weekend with ROH. So they all just hopped over and booked themselves an appearance and decided to do this. And it's funny to watch, but it kind of backfired on them a little bit.
Yeah, I know. Now they have to destroy all their t-shirts, you know? And it's like, maybe they should just put a big X over where their hands are together. I don't know. But yeah, WWE, I don't think WWE took it too well when they did that. You know, that's why, you know, especially when they, one of the things they were on the microphones mentioning was that how they were papering the crowd. And that's exactly what they did against WCW. But they don't like it done to them. So because
they only sold 30 to 40% of the tickets available for that show.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely sparse.
Like, they had a guy say he had a free ticket. He's like, I didn't pay for this. I got a free ticket. And they had a huge crowd around them. Like, a lot of people knew who they were.
Sure. Yeah. And they were doing, you know, they came out, you know, and did the same exact thing that WWE did.
And overall, in the center of things, even though history has been revised by the WWE, it's going to do about the same as the WWE's invasion of WCW did, which was nothing.
Pretty much. You're correct on that.
They make it seem like it was a big deal on their video packages and everything, but it actually did next to nothing.
Yeah, it did. You know, but they like to remind us that they were sitting on a tank outside of a WCW Monday Night Raw show, or Monday Night Nitro show. So, hey, Rick, anything else, buddy?
Two real quick things, and I'll just ask the questions, and I'll let you elaborate on them. One thing is, I don't think that... Charlotte should have got the immediate push after being out for a little bit. I know it was about her father and things like that. And B, is there any truth to the rumor that the powers that be are possibly talking to CM Punk?
I hope so. I mean, I don't know. Okay, Rick, thank you for calling. Let's stew on that when we go to break. I'll say one thing. Charlotte was there most of those shows that she wasn't on, but she was there.
Charlotte's always willing to get pushed.
Yeah, she the thing is because she wasn't on TV, it all thought she wasn't there. She was there a lot of those. So, but beyond that, CM Punk is an interesting name to bring up. We'll talk about that in Flipside. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
After a serious crash, do you believe experience matters? At William Attar, we do. Our experienced litigation team is ready to start an investigation immediately, and we can answer your questions right now. We have litigated thousands of serious injury cases because we are upstate New York's largest firm focused on motor vehicle accidents. Hurt in a car? Call William Attar at 444-4444, Main Street, Williamsville, West Main Street, Rochester.
iHeartRadio. All your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. Go! Need a break from the world? Open the iHeartRadio app. Pick a song, a playlist, an artist, or even a podcast. And immerse yourself in your own personal getaway space. Sometimes you just need to tune out the world. So tune in to iHeartRadio. Download or open the free iHeartRadio app today.
By age 35, two-thirds of men will have some degree of noticeable hair loss. And by age 50, approximately 85% will have significantly thinning hair. And if you are ready to do something about it, experience the Quatella difference.
Hi, this is Notorious 27 Homicide. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with Danger Boy. I think I've seen Andrew the Authority Joseph sighting in the room. He's here around. He'll be up here in the next hour doing Kick This. All right, but beyond that, I want to thank, by the way, we were in our last segment. I want to thank the boxers that came up. What a great beginning to the show. It was a lot of fun.
Every year they're fun.
Yeah, it's like, I'm scared I'm going to say something, man, they're going to knock me out one shot.
And I'm glad they all agree with us on, like, they agree how we saw the boxing stuff go down, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, Steve Smog, or the referee, man, he's so experienced, you know. I mean, he should have been there scoring the, you know, I know he's a referee, not a judge, but...
Pretty sure Roy Charles could have scored it better than she did.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Welcome back to the show. I want to let you know we're going to be out. It's so brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight. Empire Culver, join us 1 week from today for UFC 216 at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door. 10 p.m. start time. There's never a cover for UFC. Hosted by us, drink specials all night long. That's 1 week from today, October 7th, Salvatore Saloon, Salvatore's Garage Door, UFC 216. Finally get the Mighty Mouse. I think he's on that card now that they canceled from the last one. So we've got a couple of title matches on that. It'll be a lot of fun. Danger Boy, we are back to this. I want to pose a question to you. How do you do a tag team Hell in a Cell match?
What's a cluster of moves?
What's the difference? You know, I mean, when you have a tag team and you have a... You want to get on here, Andrew? Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me get Andrew. Where's my
intro?
Hold on. I do have your intro. Hold on a second. Ready? You probably won't be able to hear it because you're not wearing headphones.
You will respect my authority.
That's right.
Okay.
Simple. It's going to be a Texas tornado match.
Oh, is it going to...
All four men in the ring at the same time.
So, okay. So what... Let me ask
that's
you a question.
They have to do it that way.
What about the three people that are in the New Day?
One of them won't be in the ring.
He wasn't going to be on top.
You know? He might be.
It could be. You never know. Kofi has some strange things around, Royal Rumble time. You know, he's good, got good balance. Maybe he'll be walking on top of the cage or something.
Yeah, we don't know. Who's the guy that hurt himself? Hurt his knee.
Woods?
Yeah, Woods. Xavier Woods. Is he going to be back completely by then? Right now, he's had a crutch for a while, but he was one of those 1 month to 1.5 month injuries.
Yeah, so twist and...
He should be. And someone else had that recently and just came back. Who was it that had the same thing and then came back pretty quick? Was it Alexa Bliss? I can't remember. I know someone got hurt, was back pretty quick. But yeah, so, who knows? We'll see what happens. That's that is in 1 week also. That's the 8th, October 8th, Hell in a Cell. So it'll be interesting. I mean, you got two Hell in a Cell. And of course, Shane McMahon is he's coming in and getting the other Hell in a Cell match.
Well, what crazy bump is he going to do? Is he going to do a Mick Foley? Is he going to do a Mick Foley through the cage, off the cage? I mean, it's ridiculous. Kevin Owens, in all rights, to destroy Shane McMahon in a matter of moments because he's that good, and Shane McMahon is a 46-year-old overweight guy who has no business being in a wrestling
ring. Hey, he looks in great shape. I don't know about overweight.
Why does he take his shirt off then?
That's a good question. Maybe he doesn't want to show
same
up.
Same reason Roman Reigns doesn't.
Yeah, same reason Roman Reigns. No. Yeah, maybe there's no doubt, but I don't think he wants to show up other people who are out there. He's in great shape, I think. But yeah, he does. He's a bump machine, and that's a match for a bump machine. So, I hope not. Mick Foley, because that was never planned. So to get choke slammed through the top of the cage.
Yeah, I gotta save a shout out to Cesaro. What a tough SOB this guy is. Gets his. I mean, he did worse than Mick Foley. He had his teeth shoved up into his gums, and he went and wrestled the entire match after that. I mean, he should be the champion at some time. He is that good.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, I guess when you're Danger Boy, you know, if you got hurt in a match, a lot of times it doesn't dawn on you until the match is over if you can still function in the ring.
It depends what you do. I mean, if you do something like you tear up your knee so you can't walk, or you pull your quad like that, you're going to know, but you still try to finish the match. But he knew.
Oh yeah,
there was something wrong.
He had hands. He looked at his hands as soon as he saw the blood.
The adrenaline may have been going, so it didn't hurt nearly as bad as it probably should have, but.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and that's the thing is you're in the middle of this. Sometimes, you can get past the pain because of the adrenaline that's kicking through your body. But, obviously he didn't wrestle on Monday after that because of what happened. I mean,
I keep getting texts here about CM Punk talk.
Listen, I don't think there's any legitimacy behind
CM Punk. I haven't heard anything from a legitimate source.
Have you heard anything about CM Punk coming back?
I hear about it all the time. The question is it true or not?
Yeah, that's
I would hope. Beyond all hope it happens. I think it's what the WWE needs, but does Phil Brooks really want to get back into a wrestling ring? But you know what Bill Goldberg said? You never say never in the wrestling business.
Oh, I agree. And I mean,
Bret Hart.
Yeah, you could sue your company and then they'll bring you back a couple of years later.
Oh, because, that whole thing was a work anyways.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're leaving. We're done for the day. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week. It'll be second week, Danny Free. Maybe Double B will make it. But I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't forget you can hear all our shows on thepainclinic.net or go to iTunes and subscribe to us. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you think about the show on iTunes. We'll see you next week, folks. And thank you, Danger Boy, for making it. And what a blast it was the first half hour with the boxing talk. So we'll be back next week here on Fox Sports 1280.
Shh.
showers and rain for today, leading to some flooding for parts of the southwestern U.S. and across the southern and central Rockies. Difficult flooding is possible in sections of New Mexico, in Colorado, and into western and west central Texas. Furthermore, some of the rain, especially tonight and into the weekend, will fall as snow in higher elevations, providing some autumn snow on the mountains. Rain develops today, too, along the northwest coast from the Canadian border down across Washington and Oregon, with some wet weather persisting right into the weekend. Rain will cross the Great Lakes states tonight and give showers to New England early on Saturday. Expect sun for most of today and a good part of tomorrow for the mid-Atlantic. Dry for the interior south both days. 60s for the upper Midwest on Saturday with some sunshine. 80 and sunny in Nashville today and tomorrow. That's your national weather forecast from NBC News Radio. I'm Mike Ellis.
Larry Magid, CBS News Tech Talk. You may have heard of the Amazon Echo smart home device. It's a built-in speaker that not only plays music and other audio, but also connects to home devices. Now the Echo has been replaced with one that's slightly smaller and reduced in price from $180 to $99. And Amazon has added the Echo Plus. What's the Echo Plus? I'll ask my Echo, but I won't say the trigger word because it might trigger other people's devices. Blank, what's the Echo Plus?
Echo Plus is a voice-controlled, hands-free speaker with a built-in smart home hub. Echo Plus brings you everything you love about me and makes connecting to compatible smart home devices as easy as saying, "Discover my devices."
The Echo Plus, which has a larger and higher quality speaker, costs $149. It also has a built-in smart home hub, and for a limited time, comes with a smart bulb. Larry Magid, CBS News.
Health officials are sounding an early alarm for people to get flu shots. It takes 2 weeks for the flu shot to kick in. The CDC recommends getting vaccinated in October. But with Australia already seeing an uptick in flu cases, some health experts advise rolling up your sleeves sooner rather than later.
Every year things are a little different, but it gives us an idea that maybe that's what's to come for us.
Dr. Julia Pouaz of Hackensack University Medical Center in New Jersey. Flu shots are recommended for anyone over 6 months. The CDC says they're typically 40 to 60% effective. Suffolk County, New York is reporting its first West Nile-related death in nearly a decade. A 50-year-old, health officials say the patient was hospitalized earlier this month, tested positive for West Nile infection, and died a few days later. Health update, Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio.
Rich Eisen, weekdays noon till 3 on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester. Rich Eisen, Monday noon till 3 on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.